Some cases close with a confession, some close with a conviction, and some never really close at all. The Grimes Tapes is a detective fiction series following Detective Sarah Grimes as she works the cases that don't fit neatly into a file. Cases where power, politics, and human nature collide. And the truth is, the last thing anyone wants found. The Grimes Tapes, across the aisle. 3 weeks of dead ends. 3 weeks of cologne and alibis and false trails that all led somewhere loud and nowhere true. Then Mark Frost walks into the precinct, unshaven, sleepless, carrying a laptop full of secrets and a story that changes everything. There was a project, a press release set to send. A senator about to cross the most dangerous line in politics, and someone who decided that the cost of that crossing was his life. The truth has been hiding behind the one person Grimes stopped looking at, and the evidence was purchased 6 months before anyone knew there would be a murder. Week 4. The break came from Mark Frost, who walked into the precinct on a Monday morning looking like a man who'd crawled out of a foxhole. His clothes were wrinkled, he hadn't shaved in days, and he was carrying a laptop bag stuffed with files. But his eyes were clear.
"I'm ready to talk," he said. "All of it."
Grimes had him in an interview room within 5 minutes. Callahan set up the recorder.
"Start at the beginning," Grimes said.
Frost took a breath. "James Thornton and I went to college together. We were rivals, then friends. When I went to work for Governor Harrington, we ended up on opposite sides politically, but we never stopped talking. About a year ago, James called me, said he'd been doing a lot of thinking, said the gun control issue was eating at him, that he'd spent his career protecting an industry that was getting people killed, and he couldn't do it anymore." "What did you do?"
"I brought it to the governor. Harrington saw the opportunity immediately. A prominent Republican senator crossing the aisle on gun control? That's a legacy-defining moment. We started working on a bipartisan initiative. James and I called it Project Olive Branch."
"Who knew about it?" "Almost no one. Me, James, the governor, and two of Harrington's policy advisors. We kept it airtight because the political consequences of a leak would have been catastrophic. For James, especially. His donors, his party, his wife's family, he'd have been finished."
"His wife's family," Grimes repeated. "Cartwright Arms."
"Exactly. Amelia's family built their fortune on weapons manufacturing. Her brother was killed in a robbery decades ago, and the family channeled their grief into pro-gun advocacy. Amelia runs a foundation in her brother's name. For her, gun rights aren't just politics. They're personal. They're practically religious."
"Did Amelia know about Olive Branch?"
Frost hesitated. "James said she didn't. He was terrified of telling her. Said it would feel like a betrayal of everything they'd built together."
"What about the fundraiser? Why were you there?"
"James wanted to meet one more time before he went public. He had a press release drafted, an announcement of his support for moderate gun control. It was set to auto-send the morning after the fundraiser. I went to the event to give him a final briefing on the governor's support."
"And what happened?"
"I found James near the bar. We talked for a few minutes. He was nervous but resolute. Said he'd made peace with it. Then I noticed the atmosphere was off. The Cartwright family was throwing money around aggressively, doubling every donation. James's father-in-law cornered him at one point. I overheard something about sticking to the plan and don't do anything stupid. It felt like they suspected something."
"And after that?"
"I left around 9:30, went back to my hotel. The next morning, I found out James was dead."
Frost's voice broke slightly.
"I knew immediately it wasn't random, too convenient, so I started digging.
That's why you disappeared. I didn't know who to trust. Your department has contracts with Cartwright Arms. The governor was panicking. He called me a dozen times telling me to come in to control the narrative. I needed to find the truth on my own.
And what did you find?
Frost opened his laptop. I tracked the cloud drive where the Olive Branch documents were stored. James, the governor, and I all had access. But the access logs show a fourth account, registered under Amelia Thornton's maiden name and old email address. The room went still.
She found the press release, Grimes said.
2 days before the fundraiser. The logs show her accessing it 4 times between Discovery and the night James was killed. She knew exactly what he was about to do. Callahan looked at Grimes. We wrote her off. After the affairs turned up nothing, we moved on. Grimes didn't respond immediately. She was thinking about the cologne at the crime scene. Men's cologne. Expensive. The detail that had pointed them toward male suspects for 3 weeks. About the kitchen knife that looked like it could have come from any hotel kitchen. About Amelia Thornton's perfect composure. The way she'd steered their first interview toward Mark Frost and the governor. The way she'd shrugged off the affair question like it was irrelevant. Because to her, it was. Every false trail had led away from the wife, the cologne, the affairs that didn't matter, the missing aide, the powerful donor, the grieving mother. Each one had seemed more promising, more urgent, more logical than a woman who appeared to have no motive. But the motive had been there all along. Not jealousy, not rage over infidelity, something far deeper, the betrayal of a shared cause, of a dead brother's legacy, of a foundation built on grief and conviction.
Mr. Frost, Grimes said, did you send us an anonymous tip at any point during your investigation? A USB drive with information about Lisa Reeves?
Frost frowned. No, I didn't even know James had been meeting with victims' families in person. Who sent you that?
Grimes filed that question away. If Frost hadn't sent the tip, someone else had known about Thornton's secret meetings. Someone who'd been watching him closely enough to know his schedule, his contacts, his movements, someone with the means to conduct that kind of surveillance.
We need to go back to forensics, Grimes told Callahan. Everything we collected from the senator's personal effects. Go through it again. Look for anything that could be a tracking device. His phone, his watch, his pens, his cufflinks, anything.
His pens?
Amelia gave him a custom pen set for their anniversary about 6 months ago. It was in his breast pocket when he was found. The forensics came back within 48 hours. Dr. Evelyn Park, the lead forensic analyst, delivered the findings. The custom pen contains a sophisticated GPS tracking device, she said, clicking through slides. Commercial grade, but modified. The corresponding app was found on Amelia Thornton's personal phone, buried inside a folder labeled Home Security. The location data goes back 6 months. She knew where her husband was at all times.
Including the night of the murder, Callahan said.
Including the night of the murder. The pen's GPS signal was stationary in the alley from 9:43 p.m. until the body was discovered.
She knew exactly where he was standing, Grimes said. And she sent the anonymous tip. She knew about the Lisa Reeves meeting because she was tracking him. She sent it to us to muddy the water. To give us another suspect.
What about the murder weapon? Callahan asked. Park hesitated, the kind of hesitation that meant she'd found something unexpected. This is where it gets interesting. We initially classified the knife as a standard 8-inch chef's knife, consistent with professional culinary equipment. That's what it looks like to the naked eye, but our metallurgist ran a deeper analysis. To penetrate with minimal resistance, it's a proprietary alloy, harder, thinner at the edge, designed to penetrate with minimal resistance. It's actually a tactical blade engineered to look like a kitchen knife.
Engineered by whom?
Grimes asked, though she already knew. The alloy matches a Cartwright Arms subsidiary called Edgeline Tactical. They produce specialized blades for military and law enforcement. This particular model is part of a limited run, 200 units, most sold to private security firms and government contractors.
So it's not a hotel kitchen knife at all?
No, it's an assassin's blade dressed up as a kitchen knife. Someone chose it specifically because it would look like a crime of opportunity, like the killer grabbed the nearest weapon. But it was brought to the scene pre-selected for the job. Can we trace it to a buyer? We traced it to a purchase made 6 months ago by Amelia Thornton's personal assistant, using Mrs. Thornton's corporate credit card. The purchase was logged as executive gift sets. She paused. Same date as the custom pen set containing the tracking device. Same credit card. Same purchase order. The room was quiet for a long time. She bought the knife that killed her husband, Callahan said. A knife designed to look like something it wasn't. She bought it 6 months ago, Grimes added. Same day she bought the tracking pen. That's not a coincidence. That's a contingency plan. She stood. Here's what we have. Amelia Thornton had motive. Her husband was about to betray the cause she'd devoted her life to, the cause her dead brother represented. She had means. A tactical blade purchased with her own money, designed to mislead investigators. She had opportunity. Her hospitality suite alibi is unverifiable for the specific murder window. She had her husband under surveillance with a tracking device. She sent us an anonymous tip about Lisa Reeves to create an alternative suspect, and the crime scene was cleaned by someone with intimate knowledge of forensic procedures, the kind of knowledge you'd acquire growing up in a family that works with law enforcement.
What about the cologne? Callahan asked.
Men's cologne at the scene.
A false trail, applied deliberately to point us toward a male suspect. And it worked. We spent 3 weeks looking for a man.
Her lawyer will argue it's circumstantial. Then let's see if Mrs. Thornton wants to explain the circumstances. They brought Amelia Thornton in for a third interview. Her lawyer, Victoria Ashford, sat beside her, sharp-eyed and ready for a fight. But the atmosphere in the room was different this time. 3 weeks of false trails had burned away, and what remained was the hard skeleton of the case. Grimes laid it out piece by piece: the press release, the cloud drive access logs, the tracking device in the pen, the knife, not a kitchen knife, but a tactical blade made by her family's subsidiary, purchased on her credit card. The anonymous tip she'd sent to frame Lisa Reeves, the unverifiable alibi, the cologne, her husband's cologne, sprayed at the scene to point investigators toward a man. With each revelation, the room got smaller. Ashford objected, demanded context, challenged the chain of custody. But the evidence was cumulative, relentless, and everyone at the table could feel its weight. Mrs. Thornton, Grimes said, her voice quieter now, almost gentle, you've seen what we have. I think you know where this is going. Amelia stared at the table. Her hands, which had been so perfectly still in every previous interview, were trembling. Ashford whispered urgently in her ear. Amelia shook her head. Mrs. Thornton, I strongly advise— No, barely a whisper, then louder. No, I'm done, Victoria. She looked up, and Grimes saw what was underneath, not the composed widow, not the political strategist, not the pragmatic wife. Something broken. Do you have any idea what I gave that man? The words came slowly, then faster. My family's name, my connections, my money, 25 years of my life— I built his career, I tolerated his affairs, every one of them, because the work mattered more than the marriage. I could live without fidelity. I couldn't live without the cause.
Tell me about the cause, Grimes said.
My brother David was 19 when he was killed. He was visiting relatives in Chicago, walked into a convenience store and walked into a robbery. He couldn't defend himself. The city's gun laws made sure of that. Her voice was raw but steady. I built a foundation in his name. I married a man who would fight for the right to self-defense. I spent my entire adult life making sure no one else would be as helpless as David was. And James was going to undo all of that. I found the press release 2 days before the fundraiser, sitting right there on the cloud drive like he didn't even care if I saw it. Moderate gun control, bipartisan cooperation. She laughed, and the sound was terrible. He was going to stand up in front of the world and say that everything I believed in, everything David died for, was wrong. You confronted him. I sent him an email that afternoon, told him we needed to talk. At the fundraiser, I watched him on the tracking app.
When he left the ballroom, I followed. I found him in the alley. I begged him, to reconsider. He said he'd met with victims' families. He said he'd been wrong his whole career. He said he had to do what was right. Her voice cracked. Right. What about what was right for David, for our family, for every person who needs a gun to protect themselves? What happened then, Mrs. Thornton? Amelia closed her eyes. I had the knife. I'd carried it for months, since I first suspected he was wavering. I told myself it was just insurance, that I'd never actually use it. But when he said those words, when he turned his back on me and started walking away like the conversation was over, like he'd already decided, she stopped. When she spoke again, her voice was hollow. It was so fast, I didn't even realize what I'd done until he fell. And the cologne? I sprayed it on the door handle and the wall near the service exit. James's cologne. I had a sample in my purse. I knew you'd find it. I knew you'd look for a man. And then you cleaned the scene. I grew up in a family that makes weapons and trains law enforcement. I know how forensic teams work. I know what they look for. I wiped the knife handle, checked my clothes for blood. There was very little. The blade went in clean. I went back through the service entrance, cleaned up in a restroom, and returned to the Diamond Donor's suite. No one noticed I'd been gone. No one ever notices when the hostess steps away. And the anonymous tip about Lisa Reeves? Amelia's mouth tightened. I knew about the emails. I knew James had been meeting with that woman. The tracking device. I saw everything. When you started investigating, I needed you looking somewhere else. A grieving mother with a grudge against the gun industry. It was a plausible suspect. You framed her. I gave you a lead. What you did with it was your business. Victoria Ashford sat motionless, her face ashen. Grimes stood. Amelia Thornton, you're under arrest for the murder of Senator James Thornton. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. As Callahan led Amelia from the room, Grimes remained. She stared at the documents spread across the table, the evidence of a marriage, a betrayal, a murder. 4 weeks of work, hundreds of interviews, thousands of pages of records, false trails that had led them in circles, the cologne pointing to a man, the kitchen knife pointing to happenstance, the affairs pointing to jealousy, the donor pointing to money, the grieving mother pointing to revenge. All of them wrong, all of them by design. In the end, it came down to a woman who killed her husband because he'd changed his mind, because the cause she'd built her life around mattered more than the man she'd shared it with, because grief for one brother, decades old, had hardened into something that couldn't bend when the world asked it to. Grimes gathered the files and turned off the recorder. The case was closed, but the weight of it would take longer to set down. Epilogue. A sea of mourners stood under a gray October sky as Senator James Thornton's casket was lowered into the ground. Governor Harrington delivered a careful eulogy, honoring the man without touching the scandal. As he stepped away from the podium, his eyes met Grimes's for a moment. A silent acknowledgement passed between them. The governor would survive this. He always did. After the ceremony, Mark Frost found the detectives near their car.
I wanted to thank you, he said quietly, for finding the truth.
Grimes nodded. Your information was critical, even if we would have preferred to get it 3 weeks earlier. Frost managed a thin smile.
I didn't know who to trust. Your department's contracts with Cartwright Arms.
I know. James was trying to do the right thing. Frost's gaze drifted to the grave. In the end, that's what got him killed, trying to change.
The press release leaked, Grimes said. People know what he was trying to do.
And Olive Branch is dead. The bipartisan approach, the compromise, all buried with him.
Maybe not forever. Ideas don't die as easily as people.
Frost considered that. What happens now, for me? That depends on you. The department could use someone with your research abilities, if you're ever interested in doing this kind of work within the system. He looked surprised, then thoughtful.
I'll think about it.
They watched him walk away, hands in his pockets, carrying the particular weight of a man who'd lost a friend to a war he didn't know was being fought. Callahan turned to Grimes. Think he'll take the offer?
I don't know, but he's earned the right to choose.
They got into the car. Callahan started the engine, then paused.
Hell of a case.
Grimes looked out the window at the cemetery receding behind them. 4 weeks of her life spent untangling false trails that all led away from the truth, cologne that pointed to a man, affairs that pointed to jealousy, a donor who pointed to money, a mother who pointed to revenge, every thread carefully laid by a woman who understood misdirection as well as she understood grief. Let's hope the next one's simpler, she said. Callahan pulled into traffic. On the dashboard, the newspaper caught the afternoon light, its headline a stark reminder of the storm they'd come through and the questions that remained for someone else to answer. The end.